Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Here we go, Buck Belue Show, punching the clock on this Thursday. Hopefully your morning's off to a great start. You're listening to The Fan, 680 and 93.7, streaming at 680thefan.com. By now, you should have gotten that Fan app, and you can listen on your smart speaker, brought to you by South Point Financial Services. Nerney tells me that the show is sponsored by Wellstar Health System. It's important to point that out. We appreciate Wellstar. And the 10 o'clock hour on The Fan is brought to you by the Haug Law Group. And if you miss the show Monday through Friday between 10 and 11, you can catch the Buck Belue Show podcast on The Fan app and listen anytime you get ready. So Nerney ready to get to work. Derek Thomas ready to go too. Derek, let's give away two tickets to see Brooks and Dunn right now, 404-231-1680. Take the second caller. Go see Brooks and Dunn. Compliments of The Fan. And so with that said, let's get to work.
Buck's Big Take.
I can't believe the number of people in this business that are busy criticizing Tua right now. Tua is injury prone. Tua is soft. You can't count on Tua because he gets hurt all the time. Well, I disagree. Please go review the play that Tua had his ribs fractured. Please go check that out. Check out the video of that. Tua got run over by a runaway freight train is what happened on that play. Lousy protection by the right offensive tackle who missed on his block. And then Tua got drilled by an 18-wheeler going 80 miles an hour. Now, please explain to me how a quarterback is not going to get hurt under those circumstances. Tua's lucky to be alive after getting hit like that. Now, look, granted, that 18-wheeler was not on 400 southbound approaching 285, because if that was the case, you'd be going 3 miles an hour, not 80 miles an hour like Tua got hit by. And Tua's to blame. Let me get this straight. So a Mack truck going 80 miles an hour hits Tua in the rib cage, and Tua's soft. Tua's the problem. Tua's injury prone. Talk about a false narrative here.
Freight train coming.
And I think what it is just lazy by a lot of people in the sports talk radio business, a lot of people in the sports TV business. It's just lazy. It fits the narrative, right? Tua's no good. He gets hurt all the time. Well, you know what? If you take a look at the videotape, you'd see that he got hit by a Mack truck going 80 miles an hour. Now, how is Tua or anybody else not supposed to get hurt under those circumstances? Nerney, I need to know, brother. I need to know. Tua's injury prone. Give me a break. Anybody that got hit like that is going to get injured. I'm just saying.
What do you think about the talk a few weeks ago where it was going around in circles that the Dolphins were interested in bringing in Deshaun Watson, even though they had Tua on the roster? I mean, you don't think there was nothing, no injury proneness that had to do with that conversation at all?
Well, if I was Deshaun Watson, I'd say until you get your offensive line fixed, I don't want any part of playing for the Dolphins, because you're going to get hurt when you get hit like that. You're going to get hurt, injured. No, but it's all Tua. You know, Tua, you just can't count on Tua. He's always hurt. Dude, I mean, it's like falling off the Empire State Building up in New York. I mean, it's going to hurt. You're going down.
Makes you appreciate a guy like Matt Ryan, though. He's taken his fair share of Mack truck hits over the years as a Falcons QB.
He does a pretty good job of protecting himself. Number one, by getting the ball out quick, and it's because he can recognize what the defense is about to do before the snap of the ball. And he knows. He knows before he gets the ball, he's going to have to get rid of the ball quickly. Because the Falcons offensive line, we'll talk about it later in the show, it's going to get him hurt, too. Yeah, the Tua thing just drives me a little bit crazy. And that's my big take today. By the way, the Bucks Beat, the podcast is out, episode 33. Talking a little Georgia football on the front and the back end. And the interview was with Red Akins, the legendary country music songwriter and also a singer. So he's got 32 number one hits that he's penned, that he's written, also performing. And Red Akins from my hometown down in Valdosta, Georgia. It was a pleasure to catch up with him, hang out with him a little bit yesterday, and talk a little bit. Red Akins, by the way, went to the University of Georgia as a walk-on quarterback. And I asked him about that yesterday on the podcast. Hey, take us back to your days at the University of Georgia playing quarterback on the football team.
A lot of wondering if I should be doing this and should be playing guitar instead. That's what happened mostly on the practice field. I was on the JV team and played scout team quarterback and scout team safety. And all that was fun, except when I was playing scout team quarterback, Bill Goldberg was the nose guard.
Oh, Lord.
And so he perfected most of his wrestling moves on me, I think, during that 88 season. When I'd be on defense, I'm trying to tackle Rodney Hampton and Tim Worley and Keith Henderson and guys like that. And so I really started liking guitar a lot.
Yeah, let me tell you, man, that scout team quarterback thing, that is that's like playing behind the Dolphins or the Falcons offensive line. I mean, you know going out there prior to the practice even getting started that you're about to get hit. You're about to get mauled. And Rhett doing a good job of flipping, turning the page on that. I believe about a year or two later, he was making his move up in Nashville in the country music business and signed on. His first big gig was with Reba McEntire, and to travel on her concert, performing before she took the stage on the concert for over a year. That was how he got his big break. Leaving Georgia, Goldberg not hitting him anymore because he was a scout team quarterback, and he moved on into the music business. By the way, you can hear the rest of that podcast. You can find that at thepodcastpark.com or wherever it is you get your podcast. And Bucks Beat also is brought to you by Mickey Himes and the GetMickey.com team. If you're looking for a home, Lake Lanier property, or a home up 400, Mickey Himes is the guy you need to be going to. So that was fun, hanging out with Red Akins. Guy that goes way back. He was a little bit behind me down in Valdosta, just a little bit, and ended up playing for the best offensive coordinator and quarterback coach that I had as a football player. Joe Wilson was his name. Played at Valdosta. He was an assistant under Wright Bazemore for years and years. And then when Nick Hyder took the head coaching job and I got to ninth grade, Joe came back to Valdosta and was my quarterback coach in 10th grade. And learned probably more from him, more offensive football from him. Maybe it's because of the age, but he was an awesome coach, Hall of Fame caliber coach. And I just love my time with Joe Wilson. And also Red Akins did too. So got a little something in common with Red. He is kicking butt with the Peach Pickers right now. You can find out where they're going to perform next and go out and enjoy that. David Chanley saw him a couple weeks ago at Lake Oconee performing with the Peach Pickers. And was able to secure his phone number. And next thing you know, he's on the Bucks Beat podcast. So that was a lot of fun sitting down with him. Coming up on the show, all right, we're going to fix the Falcons offensive line. I've got some college football bets that you might want to make this week, looking ahead to Saturday. Bulldog Roundtable, you're going to hear from tight end John Fitzpatrick and also JT Daniels. And before the show's over, we're going to hear from Nick Saban. He won't be calling in the show, but we'll replay some of his press conference from yesterday, which has gone viral, by the way. So that's what's coming up on the show. I appreciate you hanging out with us here on The Fan, 680 and 93.7.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hi, I'm Mark Beckham with Atlanta Ramjack. We specialize in only foundation repair. What is foundation repair? Foundations sink or settle. These issues need to be addressed. It only becomes more costly the longer you put it off. What is the biggest cause of foundation problem? Either poor construction, inferior site preparation, or weather. Drought causes cracks in your foundations. If you see any signs of foundation issues, please contact us at AtlantaRamjack.com.
It's the Buck Blue Show on the Fan. So glad you're with us here on 680 and 93.7. Great hanging out with Red Akins yesterday. You can hear that on the Bucks Beat podcast. This is up right now. All those hits, singer, songwriter, former quarterback, got killed up in Athens as the scout team quarterback. Want to give you the heads up, stay off 400 southbound. That is no place to be these days. Heading right up close to 285, that intersection there. All that construction. Now, I would not get on Roswell Road as an alternate route, though, because they got construction going on Roswell Road, too. My goodness. This Atlanta traffic's going to have me moving back to Valdosta at some point in time.
They're going to be working on that 400-285 interchange for, I would guess, the next 8 years.
You know, the thing that drives me crazy is you got five lanes, and none of the five lanes are moving. None of them. Even the emergency lane's packed. I did that yesterday, by the way. I got on the emergency lane for a minute. Right now, I need the governor's helicopter to get from my home in here to the Battery Atlanta. It's just unbelievable.
You got to do what you got. And Roswell Road, I used to live off of Roswell Road there in Sandy Springs. It's amazing what they're doing there because there's no room to widen the road there, but they keep building more townhomes and apartments on either side of that road. It's impassable.
Yeah, thank goodness for that today, though. I'd still be sitting on 400 southbound right now. Nernie, you'd be doing the show. Let's chop it up, talk a little Braves.
It's time to talk Braves. Let's chop it up. Presented by Haug Law Group, your local personal injury attorneys. HaugLawGroup.com.
All right, another good late night for your Atlanta Braves out there in Braves country, man. We take down the lousy Diamondbacks 9-2 last night. Got some early runs. I'm loving this, man. I mean, I was asking for this last week. We're finally getting it. We're getting crooked numbers early in the game. Three in the first inning last night. Should have been four, but we'll take the three. Duvall hit that bomb, but look, the center fielder was, you know, laying on his butt out on the warning track, and the umpires didn't know. Duvall didn't know. Austin Riley didn't know. Did you catch the ball or not? He's just sitting there. The ball actually hit his glove and then goes over the fence. So he's sitting on the warning track, and everybody's wondering, hey, is it a home run or did he catch the freaking ball? Well, the ball went over the fence. Riley, he's standing there between first and second, not knowing what to do. Who could blame him? And that's when Duvall passes him on the base path. And they call Duvall out. So he ends up with a two-run single. But that said, you got three in the first. Loving that, man. So now you've given Ian Anderson, who has been having trouble in the first inning, you give him a three-run lead before he takes the mound. And Ian Anderson goes out there. He only allowed one run in the bottom of the first. Didn't even throw 50 pitches in the first inning like he has been. And Ian Anderson went out there and delivered one of his best performances of the season. We're talking 23 starts. And it's like the second or third best start that he's had all season long. And it's coming at a good time. Needs some of these guys stepping up big in the rotation. Got out of the first inning with one run. Hit cruise control. Ian Anderson retired 14 snakes in a row during the game. So early runs, you get a solid start out of Ian Anderson, And we have totally outscored these guys in Phoenix. I guess we should. They've lost like 104 games. Embarrassing. 26 runs in the three games in Phoenix. We've outscored them 26-7. We're averaging 8.6 runs per game. After the game, let's hear from some of the Bravos. Snit was very happy for Ozzie Albies, who hit his 30th home run last night, and he's now driven over 100 runs on the season.
He brings energy every day. You know, I mean, just the way he plays. Like I've told you guys, you play the game like Ozzie plays, you're going to play it right. And, you know, just how he shows up and plays the game every day. You know, I mean, he's a pro, and this is just two great accomplishments tonight with the homer. So I'm happy for him.
Yeah, yesterday I was standing behind Ozzie saying Ozzie Albies should be the National League Most Valuable Player. That's what he should. And we got three quality candidates on the Braves team. You got Freddie Freeman. Ever since May, has totally put it together, and he's sort of leading the way again for us this year. You got Austin Riley playing that hot corner, is having a career year at third base. Looking great there. He's a serious candidate for the Most Valuable Player Award. But I think Ozzie Albies is the guy that deserves it the most. Second baseman in Braves baseball history with 30 home runs and 100 RBI. I think the last guy that did it was like 1897. Let's hear from Ozzie talking about that 30th home run.
It feels amazing. It means a lot. All my hard works are paying off now. And great, I do it for the team. So we can have as many runs to score to win games. So I'm happy with it.
Yeah, Ozzie has been delivering all season long, whether Snit has put him in the leadoff spot. He's hit second, he's hit third, he's hit fourth, he's hit fifth. And he's totally picked up his game since Acuna went down injured. Gold glove second base, energy to this team every single day. Totally think Ozzie Albies is the National League Most Valuable Player. Not Bryce Harper, who won't even make the postseason. Ian Anderson, let's brag on him a little bit more. Great seeing Ian go out there, featuring the fastball a little bit more, less reliant on the breaking ball. Here's Ian talking about his performance.
Yeah, I think we were a little soft early on, and once we started throwing the fastball a little bit more, getting into counts, you know, I think we definitely hit a groove, me and Willie back there. So, yeah, it was a good one. It was definitely a good one.
Willie being Contreras. All right, so the Braves go for the four-game sweep this afternoon, a 3:40 first pitch against the Diamondbacks. Pretty good pitching matchup, too. We got Charlie Morton getting the rock, and we're going to face Bumgarner. You can hear all the action later this afternoon right here on The Fan. And when the Braves score, you score at Express Oil Change and Tire Engineers all season long. When the Braves score five or more runs in a game, you're going to score the big discount. So Braves beat the Diamondbacks 9-2, and that means today you get $9 off a full-service oil change today only, $9 off at Express Oil Change and Tire Engineers. Braves are getting it done. Man, I was a little concerned hitting this extended West Coast road trip, but I think we're going to be all right. We've won four games in a row. We're up three games on the Phillies. They're going to have to come in next week here to Atlanta and sweep us. And I don't believe that is going to happen. So feeling a little bit better about our Atlanta Braves. Not feeling so good about the Falcons' offensive line, however. As you look at this Falcons team, that has got to be, if not the biggest weakness right now, for Coach Arthur Smith and Mr. Fontenot, the general manager. If it's not the O-line, it's got to be the D-line. And I'm still stunned that they didn't address this, really. They tried to in the draft, got a couple of defensive linemen, but come on, they're not ready to play NFL football. So the offensive line is a real problem two games into the season. You know, I was reading Blogging Dirty late last night after the Braves game. And the writer there at Blogging Dirty was Grayson Freestone. And he was saying that what they should do is listen to this, Nerney, slide Caleb McGarry from right tackle down to offensive guard. And Grayson was pointing out it's because, look, we drafted a guy that his arms were way too short to be playing offensive tackle in the National Football League. that his arms are less than 33 inches long. And so he would be better served inside at the offensive guard spot. Pretty good run blocker. He's got a nasty disposition when it comes to the run game. Not so well-versed in pass protection, which this season is just not going to work out again because, Matt, if he can stay healthy, he's going to have to throw it 40 times a game. So it's going to be less running and more throwing. Caleb McGarry better serve sliding from offensive tackle down to offensive guard. Ernie, what do you think?
Well, I mean, it's bad news for him because, I mean, I disagree. I say it's tackle or bust for McGarry. I mean, he's too damn tall. It's going to be hard. If he slides inside, it's going to be really tough with his 6'7", 6'8" frame to get low enough and get leverage against some of these. I mean, can you imagine Grady Jarrett going up against Caleb McGarry inside? I mean, Grady Jarrett would get underneath him every single play. If he can't figure it out, a tackle, and a lot of it's footwork. I know he's got the shorter arms, but a lot of it is him using his feet as much as his arms. If he can't figure it out, he's not going to be an offensive lineman in the NFL.
And you know what? A guy like him, he's going to get every benefit of the doubt. And you know why? It's because he's a first-round draft pick. So they will go to the end of the earth to give this guy an opportunity to make it. Even with new leadership, they're going to say, hey, man, we're so invested in this guy, we can't cut him loose. We got to give him every opportunity to make it. Now, the problem, even if you did move McGarry inside to offensive guard, who's going to play offensive tackle? Who's going to play that right tackle spot? Are you going to put Jalen Mayfield out there at right tackle? My goodness, I don't think that's a likely scenario either. So what you going to do? What you going to do? The Falcons, settle in, folks. It's going to be a long year.
Well, we need Matt Ganeau to come back from whatever that neck injury he had was.
Yeah, I mean, we signed these guys, and they don't even make it to the first game. These alternative guys, you know, the guys, okay, if McGarry doesn't pick it up, we're going to put this Ganeau guy in there. He didn't even make it to the first practice. Best I remember. It's just unbelievable. The fact that T and Q, for that matter, did not realize that to win in the National Football League, to win in college football, to win in high school football, to win in youth league football, you need some big thumpers up front on the line of scrimmage helping show you the way. Otherwise, you're up against it, man. I mean, if you don't have a good offensive line, how are you going to win? If you don't have a decent defensive line, how are you going to win? We spent more time drafting safeties out of Fresno State than we did scouting and signing quality offensive or defensive linemen. It's unbelievable. Actually, it is pretty believable. All right, so let's talk a little college football before the Bulldog Roundtable gets underway here at 35 after the hour. College football, betting is such a huge deal these days. You listen to sports talk radio, and everybody's got their best picks during the course of the week, and we're no different. On the Saturday morning, Buck Ballew College Football Today Show, me and Steve West, we've got a pick early in the show. We've got a pick later in the show. Nerney, when you do your show on Saturday, you're making picks, right?
I mean, yeah, we're making picks at the end.
Everybody's making picks. So I got a couple that I was scouting this out. You know, I want to beat Westy in the pick segment we have on Saturday. And used to totally get motivated. Me and Kincaid used to do this too, right? So it's totally, I guess it's sort of like betting with your own hard-earned money, right? Your reputation's on the line. It sort of feels like when you bet your money. Both of these deals are huge. So scouting it out this week, getting ready to make the picks on Saturday. And so doing some research, and a couple of games really jumped off scouting it out on the internet here. And one of them, CBS Sports, saying you need to take North Carolina minus the 12 against Georgia Tech. Go with the Tar Heels in this game. Tar Heels offense exploded since that loss to the Hokies to start the year. 59 points back-to-back games. Meanwhile, the Jackets offense struggling to score points. Georgia Tech run defense 11th in the ACC. That can't help you. So it seems like a pretty good bet. North Carolina minus the 12. Doesn't seem like a stretch to me. Now, here at 680 The Fan, we're pulling for the Yellow Jackets, right? We're the home of the Jackets. So we would like to see Tech win. How about Tech? Now, I can't say that I like Tech this week. Well, actually, I do. I like Tech, and I like them to lose on Saturday. UNC minus the 12. We've got another Georgia team that these experts advising you to bet against. Georgia State taking on Auburn this weekend. Auburn Tigers, a 27-point favorite in the game. You might say, hey, that seems like a lot of points to be given up. Well, the Panthers have lost by more than 27 points against Army and North Carolina. So it's already happened to them twice, getting blown out. And I'm thinking the Tigers will elevate, got a little more confidence. I know it's a deal where you go into Penn State, the wide out, difficult place to go in and get a victory. And they play them tough, almost come away with a win. So I'm feeling like they'll probably have a little confidence coming out of that game. And Georgia State not playing very well, in spite of the fact that Coach Elliott's going to get them fired up before the game. I mean, he's totally going to get them fired up. But Auburn minus the 27. I'm seeing a lot of advice out there to take that one. Looking for the underdog pick. Do you ever look for that? Okay, which one of these games where can I get some points, all right? Pick the underdog. Well, the one I keep seeing out there online, you got Arkansas taking on Texas A&M. Arkansas, a 5.5-point underdog. Seeing a lot of folks saying take the Hogs, take the Razorbacks, and the 5.5 points. And then one of the other ones, too, Tennessee and Florida, and here in the Deep South, this is probably the best game we get this weekend. Tennessee going into the Swamp, taking on the Gators. Gators are 20-point favorites in the game. Looking at Florida, thinking maybe they have the letdown coming off the Alabama game where they played them close, only lost by 2 points. Alabama had the big lead, and then they sort of let down a little bit, and Florida came storming back in the second half, made it close. Tennessee plus 20. That sounds interesting. Tennessee, by the way, playing the run pretty tough on defense. Gators, they're all about running the football this year. Tennessee playing them tough. I'm not saying Tennessee will beat Florida. I'm just saying Tennessee plus the 20. Looks like a pretty decent bet in college football this Saturday. So that's what I was able to figure out. I hadn't made my picks yet. We'll do that, I guess, coming up tomorrow, Friday, and then we'll drop those on you Saturday morning on the Buck Ballew College Football Today Show, 7 to 10, right here on The Fan. Let's get to the Bulldog Roundtable.
The Fan is proud to be the official sports talk station of the Dogs. And it's time for Bulldog Roundtable with Buck Ballew.
25-20, 4-9-line, 15-10-5, get in there, touchdown!
Bulldog Roundtable is proudly presented by Georgia's Own Credit Union. Find out how you can become one of Georgia's Own at georgiasown.org. Georgia Pack and Load. Move the smart way. Move the pack and load way. Online at gapackandload.com. And by attorney Ken Nugent. One call, that's all.
And that's going to be the ball game.
Georgia will win this ball game.
Only on The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM.
All right, Road Dog and I made the trip over to Athens on Monday, press conference day for Kirby Smart, and it allowed me to sit down with a couple of the Georgia players. You heard me and Adam Anderson yesterday on the show, and today on the Bulldog Roundtable, let you hear from Georgia tight end John Fitzpatrick. Joining us now at 680 The Fan, Bulldog tight end John Fitzpatrick. So you got JT Daniels back this past Saturday. What kind of impact, you know, when you're missing your starting quarterback, obviously, it didn't look like it the way Stetson Bennett played the week before, but getting that starter back in there, what kind of impact does that have on the offense?
Yeah, Stetson did a great job against UAB, and we got JT back against South Carolina, and he also did a great job. He was commanding the huddle. He was making his points early and often, and he brought confidence to the offensive line, to the tight ends, to the receivers, and it showed out there.
I tell you the thing I really like about him, he looks like he's got a master's degree in diagnosing what the defense is going to do prior to the snap. The guy's really between the ears on top of it as far as what the defense is going to do. Can you talk about that for a moment?
Definitely. It's probably the best way I'd put it is the game before the game. You can see him with all the pointing, but he'll go to fake clap. And then you can really see who's coming and then switch the protection to over to the left side if he notices someone coming. And he's really good at fake clapping, things like that. So that's something that he uses each game, and that has helped us.
Got a lot of explosive plays the last 2 weeks. UAB, Stetson hitting those big plays. And then this week, too, both in the run game and in the passing game, we're able to get those big explosive plays that you want to get.
Yeah, no, it's great when you can connect on explosive plays. We work on them in practice Monday through Thursday, and especially on Thursdays. If we know we're hitting them on Thursdays, we know in the game that we're going to go to those plays on Saturday.
South Carolina, that defensive front they have is pretty impressive. That was a really strong group there, but you got the run game going this past week. How'd you guys get that run game, get those running backs involved in the running game?
Yeah, the week of South Carolina practice, our big thing to focus on was the run game, was our footwork, our pad level. You look at the UAB score, we did a great job, and we scored a bunch of points. We connected on our shot plays, but there were so many things from the film after watching it that we could have done better, and we used that week of practice against South Carolina to focus on that, going against one-on-ones, twos-on-twos, and that made us ready.
All right, so you've been a part of some really good teams here at Georgia. Three games into this season, how are you feeling about this team?
I'm excited. I mentioned this to a few other people, but this is the closest I've seen this team connection-wise, and I think that started with our skull sessions earlier in the spring and then the summer. They carried on, but that's shown up in the games when adversity has struck, and I think it's paying dividends.
At home, a couple of games, that had to be fun in front of the home folks. Now you're hitting the road again, heading to Nashville. What do you know about Vanderbilt? What are you expecting out of these guys?
I know that their head coach was the DC at Notre Dame in 2019, so they're definitely familiar with us. They've got a good front seven, and then on the back half, they run some funky coverages. So we're going to have to lock in this week and work.
Yeah, best of luck this week. Good job so far, man. A lot of people pulling for you guys out there. John, keep up the good work.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
All right. Also, JT Daniels was available to the media after practice yesterday, and they fired off some questions. A lot of people out there want to hear some of these answers, so anxious to play this for you here. JT Daniels was asked about his oblique, and when did he get hurt?
It's getting better every day. It's something that's been hurt since fall camp, and it never really goes away. Played Clemson, there was a little dip, so we focused on rehabbing more that week. Last week, rehabbed, as much as we could. This week, we're still doing the same thing, same plan. It's just going to keep getting better and better.
All right, so it's better. That's good news. Need him healthy the rest of the year if the Bulldogs are going to do something big this season. Now, also, the media asked JT, is he a threat to run, or is he just more comfortable in the pocket?
No, I'll always be comfortable in the pocket. I think I looked a lot faster before the SEC came around. Guys like Nolan Smith, there's just nobody else like him anywhere. It's, there's, when you think about all the kids that play football from high school and, so on, there's only so many of them. There's a handful of them that are, elite SEC football players and playing the SEC. It's really the elite of the elite. I definitely think I'm a threat to take off when I have to take off. I just think for me personally, and really for the position of quarterback, just the way that I look at it, I'm the primary distributor. Can I take off and run? Yeah. But I'd much rather have James Cook running with it. I'd much rather have Jermaine Burton running with it than myself.
Right. So you won't see JT sprinting around, running around with the football a lot this season. And I love his mentality because, look, every quarterback needs to look in the mirror and come to terms with what they can do and what they can't do. JT Daniels is not a runner, as Stephen A. Smith would say. He's a pocket quarterback. Now, does that mean he's the Statue of Liberty back there? Well, no. You see him doing a really good job manipulating the pocket, but he's got his eyes downfield. He's looking to throw it at all times. And you won't see him taking off on the zone read like some of these other quarterbacks are doing. JT Daniels is a pocket passer. And I love his is coming to terms with what he is. He's a ball distributor. So hopefully that pocket's going to stay clean, and JT Daniels is going to have him a big, big season. All right, coming back on the other side, we're going to hear from Nick Saban. He went viral yesterday. You're listening to the Buck Belue Show here on The Fan, 680 and 93.7.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Braves season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.
Got the Buck Belue Show here on The Fan, 680 and 93.7. Little Red Akins for you there. Check out the podcast, not the show podcast, but Buck's Beat. Red Akins featured on episode 33. It dropped yesterday. You can find that wherever it is you get your podcast. Red has penned 32 number one songs as a songwriter, and his son's doing pretty good out there as a solo act also. Thomas Rhett, raking in the cash. All right, so Alabama busy preparing for Southern Miss on Saturday. The Alabama Crimson Tide, 45-point favorites. Alabama, I've got them number two in college football. I've got Georgia number one, Alabama number two. Saban talking about Southern Miss, they'll start playing an SEC schedule pretty soon. Alabama will. And Saban was saying, telling the media yesterday, he's got a lot of respect for Southern Miss. Says, and I quote, they're a very good team. That's what Nick Saban's saying. Media, though, it got turned up a notch when the media started peppering him with questions about this Jaleel Billingsley. Now, he's a tight end, and he was expected to be one of the breakout players in college football this season. But Jaleel Billingsley, just not going about his daily work from day to day, not doing the job that Nick Saban was hoping he would do. So he's sort of fallen off the depth chart a little bit. In fact, fallen down. Right now, Jaleel Billingsley is going to have a breakout season. Right now, he's got one catch. One. Now, it went for a touchdown. But one catch so far. Mechie's got 17. So wouldn't look for Billingsley to be having a breakout season. But the media is totally obsessed with this. Or maybe they're just, they know that they can needle Nick Saban a little bit, and then Saban gets a little upset at the podium, and then they've got a quality audio soundbite to use, like we're going to use right now. Here's Nick Saban when asked about Jaleel Billingsley and his role increasing with the team.
What has Jaleel Billingsley proven to you to see his role increased as the season's moved on?
Well, he's doing what he's supposed to do. He practices better. He's more engaged. He's more focused on what he's supposed to do, and he's having more positive performance on the field, which is what any player is supposed to do. I think that did any of you play sports? The coach is supposed to play the best players, right? And then it's up to the players to do what they're supposed to do so they get to play because they become one of the best players. So that's what he's doing now. But I don't know, maybe if you didn't play, maybe that's not something that you quite get. So to answer your question, he's doing what he's supposed to do.
And the part that hit home and everybody's using today in this business is, did any of you play sports that are covering our football team? Now, that's a little bit of a down. I mean, that's sort of downgrading, isn't it? I mean, Nick, that's sort of a cheap shot, isn't it? I mean, you don't have.
Did any of you play sports?
You don't have to play sports to understand sports or football, for that matter. There are a lot of guys that are beat writers for these teams here in the Deep South that that, you know, played some youth league football, maybe played a little high school football, but that's as far as it got. And they understand what the game of football is all about. Some of them do. Some of them don't. But that's the one everybody's going with today with Nick Saban. Did any of you play any sports that are in here covering our Crimson Tide football team?
Did any of you play sports?
Oh, man. And shows like this one, man, are jumping on it big time. Yeah, let's get to the final word. Did any of you play sports? No, I'm just kidding. All right, the final word. The Falcons are about to go on a three-game winning streak. Who am I kidding? That's not going to happen. We're the only team in the league with a receiver playing running back. The only reason the left guard still has a job is because he's the only option that we've got. Grady's got no help on the defensive line. Our second round pick, Richie Grant, got zero snaps on defense last weekend. Got A.J. Terrell dinged up, our only legitimate player other than Deion Jones and Grady. Now he's dinged up, a little concussion issue going on. The other corner could not cover Hoyt if Hoyt was out there running routes. I'm telling you. The Falcons are a mess. Falcons are a mess. Even Gage is hurt. Repeat after me, folks. 3-14. Come on, Derek, repeat with me. 3-14.
3-14.
That's what it's looking like. But look at the good news. We'll be in line for another top five NFL draft pick in the first round. Might be able to get our next quarterback. Look out, that North Carolina quarterback might be coming to Atlanta. We're a mess. And it's going to be a long, long season. Hey, when we have a guest on the show, they join us on the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker line. Are you brave enough to take that first step? And here's another one, too. Want to make live sports on TV more exciting? Do you want to compete against some of the guys here at 680 The Fan? There is now a better way with the WinView app. Talk trash, win cash. The ultimate live sports adrenaline rush with the WinView app. Go to 680thefan.com/WinView. To download the app now. It's going to do it for the Buck Ballew Show today. Nick and Chris coming up next. You're listening to The Fan, 680 and 93.7.
Great to see you, Buck.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hi, I'm Mark Beckham with Atlanta Ramjack. We specialize in only foundation repair. What is foundation repair? Foundations sink or settle. These issues need to be addressed. It only becomes more costly the longer you put it off. What is the biggest cause of foundation problem? Either poor construction, inferior site preparation, or weather. Drought causes cracks in your foundations. If you see any signs of foundation issues, please contact us at AtlantaRamjack.com.